Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, it was Passover. He was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. When he rose again from the dead, he was the first fruits, promising, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture, but promising us eternal life, that we would never have to experience death that separates us from God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the middle part of chapter 15 where Paul defends the resurrection and sets forth his case for why the resurrection must be accepted as irrefutable fact in the mind and the heart of the believer. Think of it this way. If you've ever wondered why the disciples suffered persecution, even execution, it's because they saw, they touched, heard, spoke, and ate with the resurrected Jesus of Nazareth. That's why, for nearly 2,000 years now, followers of Jesus have categorized the resurrection as one of the essentials of the faith. In other words, you can't be a true believer without believing and accepting it. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his series called, What Are You Talking About?
The fact that your faith is so dynamic and powerful and able to accomplish so much in this world if Jesus isn't risen from the dead. Now look, in our 21st century, you might want to come back and say, well, I haven't seen any dynamic, wild, awesome faith like that. Well, that's too bad. That's sad. Because Paul's entire argument is, if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you should be witnessing radical lives whose faith is anything but futile. Isn't that cool? Secondly, you're still in your sins. This is a great argument. I sounded funny right there. This argument's fantastic because it means this. How is it then, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, that you have experienced such power and liberty from your sins? You see his argument? Can someone say amen? Do we know this in the 21st century? That we can say, yep, I used to be this, and I'm no longer. Can you say that? Can you say, I used to do that? I don't do it anymore. Not, listen, here's the great part. It's not that you just don't do it. It's that you don't want to do it either. That, how do you, Paul says, are you kidding me? Jesus is not risen from the dead? Then explain the incredible power of God that has changed your life. He says, if that's not happened, then you're still in your sins. Your sins are still like this. Look, just hook you and pull you along. Ugh. Now, women, you're like this. When, I'm just basing this on experience. This week, Lisa and I went up to San Luis Obispo, took a little couple-day break, beautiful place. They have antique stores there. And Lisa would just, she's like this, just, oh, wow. Okay, let's go eat now. Wait a minute. Oh, wow. Look at this. Women are just, it's like, it's, oh, look at that. Guys, it just happened that in that town, there's a, I don't know where the money comes from, but there goes a Porsche. There goes a Ferrari. So Lisa's looking in the windows of the stores. I'm looking out on the street, both of us back to back. Ooh, ah, wow. Lusting, I'm sure, coveting, sinning. Ooh, I need that thimble. Or, boy, I could sure get to hospital visitations much faster in a Porsche. Lord, don't you want me to have one? But we're pulled like that. But listen, do you remember the days when our sin pulled on us and we did exactly as it commanded? Yes. We even picked up the phone and made plans to sin. Yes. Hey, next week, you want to do that again? Now we don't do that. Our heart's been changed. He says, listen, Christ is risen. Proof is your sins have no power over your life anymore, and your faith is actively dynamic. Paul says, explain that one, will you? I love how practical that is. Under this, verse 18, look at this. The evidence exists in our day, right now. Verse 18, then also, third argument, those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ have perished. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Watch. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The word wellspring means fence, barrier, guard, limit, borders. That's an awesome verse. That should be on our computers. That should be on the front of whatever Facebook or chat room, something or rather, whatever's. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows forth the issues of life. That's serious. Above all else, warning. He say, warning, warning, guard. Build a moat and a wall around your heart. What goes into it? Why? Because out of it flows the issues of your life. Listen, the reason why you may be perverted is because you indulge in perverted things. The reason why you may be materialistic is because you indulge in materialistic things. The reason why you're arrogant and self-willed is because you indulge in arrogant, self-willed things. How does that happen? Listen, I'm old enough to know or remember when the computer was invented. And they had a jingle back in those days. Garbage in, garbage out. Somebody would say, well, this stupid computer, I don't know what it's doing. I can't believe it just did this. Well, what is it doing? It's only doing what you asked it to do. It cannot do something that it's not programmed to do. And our hearts are the same way. Build a fence around your life. Eye gate, ear gate, right? Mind gate. Build a wall. Before I let her in, him in, that information in, how will it benefit my life with God? My friends, you do that and you'll shut down gossipers. You do that and you'll shut down liars. You do that and you'll shut down evil things. And boy, I tell you right now, you do that and you're going to be an oddball in this culture. I mean, our culture has gone wacko, evil, crazy, weird. And people are talking about some movie. There's some big movie out there that's in 3D. And I don't even know anything about the movie until I heard some guy say on the radio, well, you know what? It's a little too scary for me. This was a secular radio station, a news channel. And the guy says, it's too scary for me. A lot of blood and guts. And as soon as I heard that, I don't need that. You guys, the last scary movie I saw, I was in high school, it was The Exorcist. That's the last scary movie I saw. You want to know why? I got saved. Oh, well, aren't you holier than thou? No, no. I got saved and became a Christian and found out that stuff's real. Head spinning around and split pea soup flying out of the face. You say, what are you talking about? Come with me. I'm a pastor. We knock, we go to doors and I'm not going to tell you. I don't need that kind of stuff. Oh, it's just entertainment. Not where I come from. It's real, man. I don't need that. I don't need to see a movie. I'm in a movie. And the Bible here is telling us that we know as believers, when a saint, when a brother or sister dies, we rejoice. You guys, we often call our funeral services here graduation services. Because that's more appropriate. Third and final point, we'll end right here. What are you talking about when you say, for God so loved the world? Are you crazy? In verse 19, we learn this, that God has placed within us the pursuit. Why? How? Because he loves us. Look at verse 19. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied or pitiable. I love this. Boy, do you hear Paul? Isn't he? Because, listen, on the negative side, a non-believer would say, finally, that guy's got it right. You dopey Christians, you only have hope in this world. You're blinded. You're following a game. It's a joke. And you, I pity you Christians. Paul says, hey, I agree with you. if Christ isn't risen. It's so great. He's saying, I would be right with you, brother. But the truth is, Jesus is risen from the dead. Now watch. In a sense, in a moment, I'm going to be speaking code. I have to be careful I don't speak Christianese and lose some of you. This is dangerous. When we say that for God so loved the world, and that we as Christians say, oh man, hope in the Lord, or my hope's in Christ, you and I know exactly what we're talking about. We speak that heavenly language. Okay, you come up and speak Mandarin to me, and I don't know what you're saying. I don't get it. Sad to say, I was born in San Diego, but I don't know a stitch of Spanish. I mean, I know like San Bernardino, Los Angeles, El Segundo, and Santa Ana. I know that. Burrito. I know that. But outside of that, I don't know nothing. I won't know what you're talking about. I wish I did. But listen, when we say, oh, hope in Christ, man, the world doesn't get that. It might as well be Mandarin. So what is he talking about? For God so loved the world. What? Because listen, justifiably, the world comes back and says, for God so loved the world. Look at this world. It's all messed up. God loved this? I wouldn't love this. And if God is love, then why is all this murder taking place? And if God is love, then why is all this starvation, suffering, and evil taking place? Read the Bible. He answers that at length. This is a world resisting the love of God, demanding its own way, telling him, stay out of my life. I'll do it my way. And it's a falsehood. Did you see the falsehood this week? By the way, something you want to talk about how messed up man can make things? You need to dig a little deeper as to what's happening in Syria. Don't be fooled by CNN and Fox News and all those other factories of buffoonery. I'm serious. Notice they'll say, well, in Syria today, 200 young men were killed at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria. Get outside international news. Find out who died. How did they die? Why were these young people killed today? Find out who they are. You know what? Overwhelming. Christians are being slaughtered in Syria right now. Your brothers and sisters. You're not going to get that on CNN. And watch this. What does the world do? Nothing. Do you know what the UN did this week? It not only did nothing. Oh, it did something. The UN did do something finally in Syria this week. They pulled out and left. They said, it's too unstable. That's the ways of man. We have the uniforms, we have the talk, we've got all the badges and whistles, but we've got no power. And my dear friends, listen, Jesus, when it comes to spiritual salvation, life, here and now and forevermore, Jesus Christ, put within your heart the pursuit of God. The Holy Spirit does this. We are not, don't pity us, because we know the truth. The word pity, or pitiable, by the way, in the Greek, is the word miserable. You ever hear that word? Have you ever seen Victor Hugo's Les Miserables? I encourage you, go rent the movie today. Liam Neeson, the actor Liam Neeson, it's got to be the version with him in it. Why? It's all about salvation, the law, grace, and love. Victor Hugo wrote it that way. The miserable. How is the miserable, the pitiable, delivered? Love. The law can never deliver the miserable. It only condemns the miserable. God gives the law to show us our condemnation so that we turn and say, Jesus, save me. And he says, yes. And we are no longer pitiable. For God so loved the world that he has promised to welcome us at the end. He's promised to welcome us at or in the end. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have died. That is awesome. Boy, I don't have the time to develop this. Just write this down quickly if you would. What is Paul the Apostle saying? This is amazing. Leviticus chapter 23, jot it down for future study, verses 10 through 11. God told the nation of Israel way, way back then that you shall take the wave offering that is dedicated to the Lord, wheat, barley, grain. And it says, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it or present it before the Lord. Okay? The wave offering, the first fruits offering, you wave it. What comes in, you give to God first. If it's your paycheck in this modern era, or if it's apples where you come from, the first of it goes to God. Watch this. You wave it before the Lord, it is the offering of the first fruits. Listen, in Leviticus 23:11, it says that you shall do this on the day after the Sabbath. Matthew 28, verse 4. Now, on the day after the Sabbath... On the first day of the week, when it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, but the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, but is risen." He is wave offering first fruits before the Lord. Jesus Christ is the first one resurrected from the dead, never to die again. Remember Lazarus? He died. Remember he died, and then Jesus resurrected them, but according to the scripture, he would have had to die again. That stinks. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He's the first fruits of the dead. The day after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, from the book of Leviticus to Matthew chapter 28, the scripture tells us that it's Christ that is raised and waved as the offering of first fruits. Listen to this. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, it was Passover. He was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. When he rose again from the dead, he was the first fruits promising, fulfilling the Old Testament scripture, but promising us eternal life, that we would never have to experience death that separates us from God. He is, listen to this, Leviticus 23:6 says that on the 15th day of the same month, it is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. John 6:41 says, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven." He's talking about, the Bible's talking about the two same things. Pure, undefiled, holy bread, that if you eat of the bread, as it were, not bread, if you eat of Christ, you'll live forevermore. He's promised us all the way through to the end. And here's where we end right now. Verse 21, "For God has provided to us the way." What are you talking about? "For since by man came death," that's Adam. "By man," capital M in your Bible on man, "also came the resurrection of the dead." That's Jesus. This is great. Why do we die? Because the Bible says of sin. Well, how did that happen? Because of one man, Adam. You say, yeah, but Eve sinned first. Yes, she sinned first, but she came out of Adam. That's the only time a man can say that. We've all come out of women. Eve didn't come out of a woman. Isn't that freaky weird? Eve came out of a man. His name was Adam. And she was deceived, the Bible says, by Satan. The Bible says that Adam took of the fruit and ate also. Eve was deceived, the Bible says. Adam willfully walked away from God to be with her. You say, "That's so sweet." Oh, you know what? Stick that in your ear. Because God probably could have made another woman and we'd all be fine. We'd all be in Hawaii today with no sin. Adam looked at her. Looked at God. He was fine. God, her. I'm going to go with her. And he willfully enters into sin. The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness that is of God through faith in him." Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this world, took upon himself willfully Our sins, because he loved you so much. My sins, because he loved me so much. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And my dear friend, by your choice today, all can be well. And you can be on your way to heaven, forgiven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at the middle part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul defends the resurrection and sets forth his case for why it must be accepted as irrefutable fact in the mind and in the heart of the true believer. The title of this series is, quite simply, What Are You Talking About? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Friday, time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment here on Real Radio. Remember, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, whatever you'd like to ask, send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, this one comes from Patrick, who writes, I love the show, and I appreciate all the hard work all put forward to make it happen. I really appreciate that, and those of us behind the scenes do. Patrick says, here's my question, though. I wanted to ask about marriage and children. The Lord says, be fruitful and multiply. Are we only to get married to procreate, or can we be married and not have children? Pretty good question. What do you think, Pastor Jack?
That's a great question. But look, let me answer you from my perspective. And in saying that, really, you're hearing one reporter's opinion, although this reporter thinks it's the right opinion, quite frankly. God instituted marriage. It's a holy institution, okay? And so I believe that when God brings believers together, the number one thing that we need to be focused on is he increases our Christian witness. In other words, Patrick, if you, and you do, have a Christian witness, and your fiance has a Christian witness, when God brings the two of you together, you are to have a greater impact in your community, a greater influence in your church, a greater example among your friends and family and all those who you meet. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is, out of all of that, we are to raise up children. Now, a lot of Christian couples can't have children. And for some reasons, only God knows that's the case. But I find that many of them adopt, which is great. I think it's awesome. My daughter and my son-in-law, that's what happened to them. They adopted. And now they're raising a child in the ways of the Lord. So you want to think about adoption if you can't have children. If you choose not to have children, then just make sure that it's what God is telling you to do. I don't want to be very dogmatic. I don't want to be very harsh about this. I don't want to lay down some law. I know I'm going to get letters on what I'm saying right now, Patrick, but if you come together, number one is your witness. It's going to increase. Number two, you need to talk to one another and really pray this through and talk about it. Why not have children? It's a real blessing. God didn't have us get pregnant just to procreate. God had us get married and get pregnant and have kids for the propagation of the gospel, for the creating of great citizens and great examples and children who love God. I mean, we all know we need more and more examples of that. So you want to ask the Lord, and both of you praying together, why would we not want to have kids? Because I do talk to a lot of couples who, over the course of years, wind up regretting not having children and or not adopting as they begin in their more senior years to sense the loneliness. So you just want to be very careful. Pray it through, Patrick, and talk to your fiance or your spouse. Make sure you guys have got this down, because it is a great blessing. The Bible says, happy is a man whose quiver is full, and it's the references of children. And so just know what God's will is for you guys.
Thank you, Patrick, for sending in that question. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.